A student at Evergreen High School here in King County died yesterday from undisclosed injuries suffered during a football game. Since 2005, 30 high school football players nationwide reportedly died from injuries, but over 1 million kids continue to play. Dr. Stanley Herring is medical director of spine, sports, and orthopedic health at the University of Washington Medical Center. He also co-leads UW Medicine's Sports Health and Safety Institute, which was established in part by a $2.5 million donation from the charity arm of the National Football League. He says the biggest long-term health concern for young football players is from concussions, especially if athletes get back on the field while showing symptoms.
We do not want to see a young person who's had multiple concussions close together and never recovered between them go on to suffer long-term post-concussive symptoms where they really struggle for months to get back to normal. The other thing which I think is important to understand is even if concussion recovery does occur, you do not want to take an injury which often gets better in 10 days to 2 weeks and make it linger on for several months. Even if the long-term recovery is positive, the short-term disability, remember these are not just athletes, they're student athletes. So the short-term disability for schoolwork and homework and social development is important. The quick answer, most concussions get better if they're mismanaged or if certain athletes are very vulnerable, there can be long-term consequences.
So if an athlete is asked to play again before the concussion is healed, for example, isn't given adequate time to rest, that could create long-term consequences.
It certainly can create consequences that prolong the recovery from that concussion, and in some cases seem to prolong it for a long period of time. And in adolescence, there is the rare risk of a catastrophic injury if you are playing with a concussion that has not recovered.
Dr. Herring, how conclusive is the science around young athletes and concussions currently?
Well, we are making progress. We still struggle to completely define a concussion. We still struggle to understand a lot of data because there are perhaps 4+ million sports and recreation concussions a year. So capturing all of them and looking for recovery in all of them can be challenging. There's good science. There's emerging science, and it's important for people to understand that if managed correctly, most youth concussions actually do well. But how much science is there? A lot. How much more is necessary? A lot more.
Well, from what we know now, what do the symptoms look like?
Concussions can present in a variety of different ways. The most common symptom is that of headache and also a sense of being slowed or dazed. That's the classic sort of presentation. Understanding that the symptoms can be quite broad. Some athletes here cannot tolerate loud noises or bright lights. Others feel nauseated. Others feel dizzy. Sometimes there's emotional change, profound sadness, or even sort of being unreasonably giddy. Depends upon what part of the brain is affected.
Well, I'm wondering, especially given your work with professional athletes, Seattle has changed a lot since the Seahawks have become a Super Bowl winning team. Do you think that that's affected how many kids want to play football here?
Well, I think that in all sports, we are seeing some decrement in kids signing up for sports. Football has been affected, but other sports have as well. And for where we sit at the Sports Health and Safety Institute, we really want young people to be active. Whether it's football or basketball or whatever sport they choose, the key here is getting 60 minutes of good physical activity daily.
Even with the long-term benefits of regular exercise, how risky is football for young players?
Football and other contact and collision sports statistically have never been safer. The risk of a tragedy in a sport like football is less than 1 in 200,000 participants per year, which is an important number, but once again does not assuage someone who has had a tragic event.
You've talked about youth athletics overall, but how do football injuries compare to other sports?
Sports that are collision sports or even high-contact sports, basketball being an example, are not immune from injury. The rate of injury in sports where girls and boys play by the same set of rules, for example, soccer and basketball, is consistently higher in girls' sports. So we're careful to tell our patients that regardless of the sport you choose, understand that any collision or contact sport has a real risk of injury.
Do you have kids, Dr. Herring?
I do.
Do they play football?
I have two grown children, and I get this question a lot. My daughter played high school sports and college sports, and my son chose to be an outdoor educator and extreme survivor. So if you ask me about risk, I tell patients, if my son only would have chosen to play football, I would have been happy. If I had a young child who wanted to play football, I would allow them to play football under these terms: that I was aware that the football program had well-trained coaches, that they had an emergency medical action plan in place, that the coaches, parents, and athletes were educated about the risk of all injuries, not just concussion, and that there was a practice and game modification plan that limited unnecessary exposure to injury. Any parent should ask for that for any sport their son or daughter is involved in.
Dr. Stanley Herring is a director of UW Medicine's Sports Health and Safety Institute. He's also a team doctor for the Seattle Seahawks. Washington State made an effort in 2009 to improve the safety of high school sports. It's called the Zachary Leistat Law. The law says youth athletes cannot return to play or practice without a licensed health official's written approval after a concussion. The law has since been adopted in all 50 states.